On this Sunday, we celebrate our students who have finished their confirmation program and all the experiences and classes that are a part of it. For those of you that don't know, it involves 2 full years of classes, a series of worship reflections, and also service and participation projects, culminating in each one of them writing a personal statement of faith. Let's begin as we prepare to learn and think with them. God, as we hear your words read and shared, as we hear the faith of our young people, might our hearts be open that our lives might be inspired as well. Open our ears so that we can hear. Free us from distractions around us and within us. Open our minds. Give us a glimpse of the divine. And open our hearts. Change us and form us with your message, we pray. Amen. Confirmation Sunday is a great time for us to talk about 2 of the very most important things in life that are crucial for us to know: our identity and our purpose. This morning, our confirmation students are publicly accepting and claiming their identity and their purpose. But it'll take them a lifetime to fully live that out, just as it will take all of us a lifetime to fully claim our identity and live our purpose. Both of today's scripture lessons talk about our identity and purpose. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, we read it with me. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." This tells us our identity. Our identity is that we are created by God and we are known by God. And then in verse 7, read, "You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you." And that's the key purpose of Christians, to share God's word, the good news, with other people by what we say, but even more importantly, by how we live our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we are reminded of this, everyone. God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. And in verse 5, it says, "God predestined us to be adopted as God's children through Jesus Christ." So, our identity is that we are chosen by God and we are God's children just as we are, just as God created us. Never let anyone tell you different. And verse 4 also tells us that God chose us, everyone, to be holy and blameless in God's sight. You see, part of our purpose in life is to lead holy lives. Many people in this world, they're searching to find an identity. They're searching to find a purpose in life. These scriptures, they help us in our search, don't they? So let's talk more deeply, more personally, about our identity. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes this, share with me, "God demonstrated God's love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Do you know what this means, young people? It means that you do not need to do anything to earn God's love. You are worthy just as you are. You are complete just as you are. You are loved just as you are. And the truth of the matter, though, is that we can be quite hard on ourselves. And our peers can be quite judgmental. And our world can be pretty hard on us. There are so many people who live with a shaky sense of self-worth. Even people who appear to be really confident, well, they too struggle with self-worth from time to time. I struggle with my own feelings of insecurity, and I'm sure everyone in this room does as well. And so every one of us need to remember this. Long ago, even before you were born, even before your parents thought of you, God chose you to be God's very own. We don't have to win any races or games or trophies or awards. We don't have to be a straight A student. We don't have to be popular with our peers. We don't have to be parent of the year or salesperson of the decade. We don't have to have the face and figure of a model. God loves us just as we are. And that in itself is what gives us our worth and our value. We might do great things in life, we might have great accomplishments, but those things are not what give you your value. Your value and worth come in the fact that you are God's beloved. Life can be hard. And there can be moments when we think that we just don't have enough strength to deal with it, when we don't know how to cope, when things feel pretty darn hopeless. God gives us a promise in these times. God promises that God will be with us, bringing light in even the darkest situation, hope in even the situations where we can't imagine things getting better, because you see, you are God's beloved, created by God, and because of that, God will never, ever let you go, no matter what. Young people, all people, cling to that hope, reach out to it, seek others to offer it to you, and offer it to others. This morning's scriptures tell us who we are. They give us our identity. But they also tell us our purpose in life, and we were created with a purpose in life, and the scripture tells us that we are set apart to do God's work. That is our purpose in life. That's where we find real hope and meaning and purpose. We are God's people. We're called to do God's work in the world, and God calls us to share love and Jesus' way of life through our words and through our actions. God calls us to live holy lives. Lives that exhibit Jesus' presence, that's our purpose. We are called to be disciples, people who embrace and follow the radical ways of Jesus Christ, ways that lead to hope and healing for us, for our friends, for the world. There are many excuses we can give for not claiming our purpose and following it with commitment. The young prophet Jeremiah said to God, "I am only a child. I can't do what you ask." And to him, God says this, "Don't say I am only a child, for I am with you, and I will put my words in your mouth." Young people, God tells you that God is with you too. And God will give you the words and the strength of character and the ability to do and deal with whatever comes along in your path of life. Congregation, God has put words in the mouths of our confirmation students as they wrestled with their faith and wrote their own statements of belief. The students understand that we don't require them to believe and understand faith in a certain way, but instead we encourage them to honestly wrestle with their own faith and their own beliefs and then consistently live those beliefs out. Listen to words expressing an understanding of who God is. I believe God is here for us all of the time. He loves us for who we are, and nothing can change his love for us. God is there whenever we need help, and even if we don't realize it, he is there. We can find God in others by the way they act and help us. I believe God is the creator of the heavens and earth. God sees the passion and beauty in everyone, whether they believe or not. God loves and cares for everyone when others don't. God is a symbol of love. I believe God is like a hen gathering her chicks. She has to focus on the one running away as God focuses on people who need him the most. Even though the hen isn't focusing on the other chicks, she still loves all the others as God loves all people. They talk about faith in Jesus Christ, saying, I believe Jesus is the guy who makes all the complicated, menacing rules and teachings of the Bible seem like the calm sea when Peter walks on water. I believe Jesus is our guide and Savior. He helps us through life and saves us from the bad times. He helps us love and heal others' pain. I believe Jesus is always there for me. I believe Jesus gives us meaning in life. He was a proclamation of God's love for us. He is our Savior due to sacrificing his life for us and our sins. He is a healer and a miracle worker. When I hit a brick and want to give up, Jesus gives me hope. In our faith journeys, as we look around for God, seeking to find God, the confirmation students guide us in this journey as they proclaim, "I believe the Holy Spirit is inside all of us wherever we go. It is always watching. It can help us in times when we don't know what to do. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe he is always there and helping us feel God's presence. I believe that he nudges us to do things and gives us the feeling of what is right and what is wrong. I believe the Holy Spirit lives within us, bringing and holding the pureness of everyone. The Spirit guides us to a more loving life and keeps us from sin. The Spirit is inside every being, whether they listen to it or not. It gives us choice and guidance. The Holy Spirit is a part of God." They describe an interesting concept called discipleship by saying, "I believe that being a disciple is being a part of something you're committed to and showing how committed you are to it by taking real life actions upon other people and your own experiences. I believe that being a disciple means you should help people and ask for help when you need it. It's the will to serve and love and to be served and loved. I believe that being a disciple is giving yourself to Jesus. It's being faithful to what you believe. It's about making good choices and being willing to love. Discipleship is about coming together and being there for others and receiving help from others too." There are other thoughts from our statements of faith prepared by our confirmation class members. Statements about stewardship. "I believe that stewardship is something a person does to help other people because they care. It's about taking the gifts we have been given and figuring out a creative way to use them to benefit the world. I believe that stewardship is showing other people you care, but also taking care of yourself and loving yourself as well as others. I believe that stewardship is showing people we care, that no matter how old we get, we can always show kindness and show that we care for someone or something." And now listen to their thoughts about mission and service. "I believe mission is helping those in need. Everyone has a goal or mission that we want to strive for, to help feed, care for, respect, and forgive everyone. Being nice, kind, and caring for everyone is the purpose of our mission." "I believe mission and service is responding to God's call to help improve the world by seeing it through the eyes of a child. I believe mission and service is helping those who need things like food, shelter, or clothes, and doing it willingly without praise, just knowing it is the right thing to do." Those are good, aren't they? I've saved their statements about church for last. And before I share the statements of wisdom from our confirmation students, I have two stories for you. Two stories that I think give you an indication of what it means to be church the way God intends the church to be. The first story took place at a Maple Grove Caribou Coffee about 13 years ago. So you guys were 2 or 3 years old when this happened. Seemed just like yesterday. This life goes fast. My dog, Ollie, had just been diagnosed with cancer, and the vet had told me that he wasn't going to be able to make it. And so I was so upset, but I had to go to a church meeting, and I decided to stop off at Caribou Coffee to get a drink, hoping that it might help me get through the rest of the meeting. As I ordered the drink, I totally fell apart. I broke down in tears right at that counter at Caribou Coffee. I ended up telling the worker there all about my little dog. I had ordered a small drink. Guess what they did? They made me the largest size drink that they could make, and they refused to let me pay for it. They wanted to offer me comfort, and so they gave me what they could. They gave me that drink. Now, do you think I have strong feelings about Caribou Coffee? Because of the way they treated me on that day where I needed a touch of care, every time I go into that Caribou Coffee or any Caribou Coffee, inside of me, I feel that that is a place that cares. Our second story took place not long ago at all. Several high school students had a problem, and they came here to this church to talk about it. They came into my office, and I didn't recognize any of them, and I learned that I had never, ever met them. We talked for a while, and we came up with a plan for dealing with their situation. All the while, I was wondering why they came to the Copper Top when none of them even attend here, and some of them had never been in the building. And so before they left, I asked, "What made you decide to come to this church?" And they named a student from our church, one of you, that they know who goes to this church. And they said that that person goes to this church and says that they like it, and so they felt it was a place they could go and get help. Are you seeing what these two stories have to do with being the church? Have to do with what it means to being church, the way God created the church to be? There are going to be hurting people who enter the doors of our church. Some of these people are sitting in this room right now. Some of the hurting people don't even know about the church and the hope and healing that God offers. Some of them have never come to church. Will we invite them through our words and actions to come? Will we be here when they come to greet them and welcome them and care for them? How will we treat someone when they come in our doors? Like the worker at Caribou Coffee, will we find a way to reach out for them and in even a small way show care for them? Through the way that you welcome and interact with them, will they leave feeling that the Copper Top Church is a place of hope and healing? And much more important, will they leave feeling that they have experienced the love of God who alone can meet their deepest needs? Beloved ones, are we becoming the church, the people that God calls us to be? Listen as our confirmation students talk about the special, unique community that God creates among people of faith, describing it in phrases like these. "I believe the church is where dream makers and caretakers come together to support and defend, to see eye to eye and come together as one congregation family, where pain can turn into love and tears turn into joy. Church is waiting for you to be accepted by those who love God. I believe the church is a place where everyone is on the same level of popularity and no one is valued over another and all feel safe. I believe the church is a place where people can come together and learn about a common belief. Church should be a place where you feel loved and safe. The church helps us become better people, and church should most importantly be fun." Is this sermon fun? Okay. "I believe the church is a safe, accepting place where you can be yourself. I believe the church is a place to worship, but it is also more than that. It's a place where everyone comes together like a family. In church, all judgment disappears so everyone can find joy and peace. Church is a place you can always go to feel safe. And finally, I believe the church is for love and releasing. It's a place where everyone is accepted as a whole and warmth is shared to everyone. It is a place to deal with sorrow and come to peace." Friends, at First United Methodist Church, the Copper Top, we are blessed. We are blessed to be in the company of so many loving, generous, caring people of so many different ages and life backgrounds who are deeply committed to growing in their faith, serving others in Christ's name, and transforming the world with God's redeeming love. Every Sunday, all week long, people come to see what is happening here, and they look at your life and they see what God is doing there when they interact with our church, when they interact with you. May they find their identity as God's beloved ones. May they learn their purpose in Jesus Christ, how they are set apart to be holy people, called to live out their faith and share it with others and change the world one person at a time. May every single person that comes in the doors of our church or enters your lives in any way, may they see church lived out the way God intends it to be. And may they too find their identity and their purpose. May it be so. Amen.